Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Randy Fine. I am your show host. Excuse me if I'm a little bit congested today. I'm actually getting over the flu, but I'm feeling much better. I'm ready to go. Today we have a really interesting show because, and this is something that is very personally interesting to me because of I've suffered from the conditions of fatigue and fibromyalgia for many, many years. I have it pretty much under control, but there's always some issues that I have, and it's really, really good to hear from an expert who specializes in this. Today we have with us Dr. Kerry Drisga, who is known internationally as the functional medicine doc, and she'll explain what that is. She is the go-to expert on finding the root causes of health problems. So you can feel normal again. She is a chiropractor and naturopathic doctor, host of the popular podcast, The Functional Medicine Radio Show, and author of the hit book, Reclaim Your Energy and Feel Normal Again, Fixing the Root Cause of Your Fatigue with Natural Treatments. Dr. Kerry is creator of Entrepreneurial Fatigue, How to Fuel Your Brain and Body for Entrepreneurial Success. Her private practice is Functional Medicine Ontario, located in Ottawa, Ontario. So we have lots to talk to Dr. Kerry about today, and let me introduce her to you so we can get started. Good morning, Dr. Kerry. How are you?
Good morning, Randy. I'm fabulous today. How are you?
I'm doing much better than I was. Thank you.
Good.
It's so great. Thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you so much
for
having me.
So why don't you explain to us what a functional medicine doctor is?
Oh, you know what, Randy? I think that's a really great place to start because a lot of people still have not heard about functional medicine. So functional medicine doctors, we look at the whole body because really everything in your body is connected. And so we really understand the intricacies about the digestive tract, the hormones, the immune system, the brain, everything, really. We're like uber nerds about this stuff. So understanding all those connections. So when we see a patient, we see that really everything in their body is connected, and our goal is to really try and find out what are the root causes of where their symptoms are coming from, because there really is a cause. It's coming from somewhere. And finding those root causes sometimes involves, you know, specific testing to be done. And then once we figure out what some of those causes are, usually treatments are, for the most part, natural, you know, kinds of treatments like lifestyle changes, exercise, diet. We could be using specific supplements or herbs. et cetera. So it's about, I like to say in a nutshell, functional medicine is find the cause, fix the cause, and feel normal again.
Okay. And so this is what we talk about when we talk about holistic medicine. We're treating the entire body, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. And I've actually heard of functional medicine, and I've actually looked into it. There are a few doctors here in South Florida, but I know that my sister has seen a functional medicine doctor for years and years and years and just highly recommends that, you know, that route. So how did you start off in this specialty? I know that you are a chiropractor and naturopathic doctor. So did you sort of morph into this field, or was this something you knew you were going to do all along?
No, like a lot of doctors, I kind of morphed into this field. So I started out in practice as a chiropractor. And to be quite honest, within 5 years of being in private practice, you know, I came home one night, and by the way, my husband, he's also a chiropractor. So I came home one night, and I remember just sitting down at dinner and asking him, do you see yourself doing this for the next 25, 30 years? Because I don't see myself doing chiropractic for that long. Like, I'm already bored. Like, this is not interesting. It's not what I thought it was all cracked up to be, no pun intended. And he said, oh, no, I love doing what I do. And I said, this is just not for me. And to be quite honest, Randy, at that point, like, I'm still paying off student loans. And I have this realization that I actually don't really want to be a chiropractor. Now, having said that, I love chiropractic. I just don't like being a chiropractor. So then, like a lot of people, I was kind of on a journey to figure out, okay, what do I want to be when I grow up, right? And with being in private practice, one of the things that really bothered me, and it still bothers me to this day, is when my patients don't get better, I always wonder, well, what am I missing? What is going on that I'm not missing and they're not getting better? So kind of taking that approach, I would see my patients and I started learning more about nutrition and detoxification and allergies and sensitivities. And then finally, I stumbled upon functional medicine. And when I learned the tenets of functional medicine, it just made sense. And I would say for a lot of listeners out there and patients, when they see what functional medicine is, it just makes sense because it's about finding the cause and fixing it so we actually improve health again. It's not just using Band-Aid medicine to cover up symptoms. And so after I learned that, I started taking more and more courses. Then I got to a point where I needed to go back to school and get a second degree. So that's when I was, at this point, 15 years in a private practice. I had the realization that really, if I want to practice functional medicine in its full breadth and scope in Ontario, I need to go back to school and get a naturopathic degree. So, my gosh, 15 years into practice, I up and moved from Canada back to Chicago for 2 years. And I was in class about 30 hours a week, you know, morning classes, afternoon classes, even evening classes. Studying, writing exams, writing papers, researching, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I'm flying back and forth to Ontario to try and maintain my private practice. So, of course, that's just insanity as we know it. And about 6 months into this craziness is when I started really getting fatigued. So that's where then my fatigue story started. And I knew it was the pressure that I was putting myself under physically, mentally, emotionally. And it's just, you know, one of those situations, Randy, where you have a goal in mind and it's a little bit like, well, you just have to suck it up for the short term to get to that long-term goal. So now 2 years goes by. I graduate, you know, I pass my board exams. I'm back, living back in Canada full time, trying to restart my practice. And I just thought at that point, and I was very naive about this too. It's amazing how doctors, we can be so naive about our own health. And so I just thought, well, I just need to take, you know, some time off. And, you know, within a couple months, I'll just bounce right back. I'll just, you know, get good sleep. So I would sleep like 10 hours a night. And then every day I took a two-hour nap minimum. And I just thought, well, I'll just give it some time and I'll just bounce right back. And you know what, Randy, that did not happen. That's how naive I was about my own health. And so at that point, then I broke all the rules, and I decided to treat myself with functional medicine. And I say broke the rules because doctors, we're really not supposed to treat ourselves because we can't, you know, be unbiased. And so I talk about that, you know, kind of whole journey in the book, and that's what prompted me to write the book and share my story, because I was having so many patients coming in with fatigue and other health problems, and just there's a lot that we're finding out now that the conventional healthcare model just is not, you know, is not helping with. So fatigue is a perfect example. The conventional healthcare model is failing patients with fatigue. So I would have patients coming in, and of course, I'm sure you hear stories like this all the time, that they have tests run and all the tests are normal, and then the doctor is just kind of like, well, maybe you're just stressed and you need a vacation, or maybe you're working too hard and you need to take 3 months off of work because you're in a burnout, or maybe we should start you on antidepressants. And really the patient, they're like, no, there is something wrong. What is wrong? Just because you can't find it doesn't mean like it's in my head. There is something wrong. So that's kind of what, that's kind of my backstory. It's kind of a long answer to your question. But
okay.
Also,
but that's,
what,
that's
how
good,
how
answer.
I got started into, you know, sharing my story with the world with a book that I wrote.
Well, that's a great story, and it is, usually it is experiences in our lives that propel us into a career. Yeah, so I totally get what you're saying. I can't tell you how many times doctors have told me there's nothing wrong with you. You're depressed, you're this, you're that, and this is going way back into, oh my gosh, the 70s, the late 70s when I started this journey, and they told me I was depressed, and the only antidepressant they had back then was Valium. So how's that going to help fatigue? But they gave it to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, it's not. And a lot of patients come in and they'll say, Dr. Carey, you're going to think I'm crazy, but blah, blah, blah. And they'll share with me their symptoms. And I'll say, you know what? I'll never think you're crazy. I said, I know you've probably had experiences where doctors look at you like you have three heads, but I'll never think you're crazy. This is coming from somewhere. Maybe I don't know exactly all the details right now, but you and I, we're going to work together to figure it out.
You know, I had about a year ago, I ended up in the hospital with extremely low blood pressure. It was like 65 over 30. It was really bad. They ran all kinds of tests on me in the emergency room and deemed that there was nothing wrong with me and sent me home. How could there be nothing wrong with a person who's in there? But they just it just didn't show up in the tests. And I said, well, I think I have problems with my adrenals. Can you check that? Oh, we checked it. Your adrenals are fine. Well, they don't do it the proper way. They're just running a general blood test, and they can't really tell. So they sent me home. And my son, who is a medical school medical student right now, actually figured out what was going on with me and got me back on my feet. But but yeah, so I know that frustration. So in your book, you talk about the 8 leading causes of fatigue. Can you go over those?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, on my research, I basically found 14 different causes, but I didn't want to get into all of that in the book, so I just stuck with 8.
Okay.
And so in the book, I talk about at the very top of the list are anemia and thyroid problems. So for anybody out there that has any level of fatigue, they should always be tested for anemia and thyroid problems first at the top of the list. And unfortunately, a lot of times those tests come back as, you know, quote, normal. And then that's kind of like where it's left. But then the rest of the list is in no particular order. But I talk about adrenals and cortisol imbalance because that's a big one for a lot of people. Also blood sugar imbalances. So oftentimes people have low blood sugar or their blood sugar is too high or they're kind of on a roller coaster through the day. And that has multiple effects on the body, on the adrenals, on the brain, on the hormones. I also talk about nutrient deficiencies because they're very common nutrient deficiencies that are going on that are either not being tested for or are just kind of being ignored. And then chronic infections. And usually when I say chronic infections, these are usually hidden infections that are not necessarily giving you any obvious like digestive upset. So chronic infections of the digestive tract could be things like parasite infection or yeast overgrowth, bacterial overgrowth, something called SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, which You could have perfectly normal bacteria, but it's in the wrong part of your intestine, and that's causing problems. And that's actually a big cause of chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia. Huh. And then, of course, too, just a simple probiotic deficiency, too. And then I also talk about food allergies and sensitivities because, really, your food is your best medicine. And if you're eating foods that you're sensitive to or cause an immune reaction, that can have a big impact on your health. And then lastly is the brain and the brain's impact on fatigue and health in general, too.
All right. And when you talk about the brain, are you talking about physiological or are you talking about emotional and psychological?
So in the book, actually, I'm talking more about physiological. And okay. So I actually, since writing the book, there's so much more that I've learned about the brain. And so I feel like I need to put a second edition on this book just to expand on that whole brain chapter. But in simple terms, in the book, I talk about just physiologically. Some of the key things I look for are just one, are you getting enough protein in your diet? Because if you're not getting enough protein in your diet, likely you'll have amino acid deficiencies and you really won't have the building blocks to build the neurotransmitters, serotonin, dopamine, GABA, acetylcholine, for good brain health. And then I also talk about using specific amino acid therapies to try and balance out those neurotransmitters. But actually, since writing the book, I'm such a functional medicine geek. I'm actually taking a functional neurology course, which is a 3-year program, and I'm in the first year. And there's so much more that I've learned and learning about plasticity, the wiring of the brain, and that we can have good wiring in the brain or we can have bad wiring in the brain. You know, one of the things you asked me, you know, in our little chat before we started today was about, you know, patients that have a history of some kind of emotional trauma or emotional abuse, like how can that have an effect on the brain or what can we do to help that? And I find a lot of patients, they've already come in and they've already done, like, you know, the, quote, typical, you know, treatments of cognitive behavioral therapy and psychotherapy and whatnot, even EMDR. But one of the things I'm learning in functional neurology is we can use different neurological exercises. Eye movements are one of them. While we're breathing in different aromatherapy oils, because aromatherapy oils actually get to the limbic system of the brain, which is the emotional core. And so we have you doing these things while you're thinking of a new positive thought to kind of override that negative plasticity that's been developed. Anyways, okay. I don't want to like go too far off on that tangent, but there's so much that can be done for the brain. I think that whole frontier of brain health, like we're just on the tip of it, because up to this point, really, medicine has been a kind of a neck down kind of a process. We've pretty much ignored the brain up until the last few years.
Yeah, I agree with you. And actually, when I was writing my book, which is not published yet, but when I was writing it and I was researching, I did find that a component of that there has been imaging done on brains of people who had childhood emotional abuse and lived in environments of anger and yelling and things like that, also sexual abuse, and that the overflooding of the fight or flight hormones can actually damage the hippocampus and create a lifetime of emotional regulation issues. So I like to point that out, although I cannot, you know, really elaborate on it because that's not my expertise and I wouldn't even pretend that it was. But I think it's important for people to be aware that you can be set up in from childhood abuse with brain issues that you may have a little bit more of a challenge in overcoming than, you know, other people who have not. So I found that to be very interesting.
It is very interesting. So for the people out there listening, for them to have some hope, even though their brain might be different, might be challenged, there are treatments out there that we're figuring out on how to override those things. So for the listeners out there, if you think you kind of fit that category, I would look for somebody that specializes in functional neurology. I think
functional
that would be
neurology.
Functional
great.
Neurology.
I'm going to write
yeah.
that down.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely want to look into that.
Yeah, there actually is a doctor down in Texas. His name is Dr. Brandon Brock. And he's doing a lot of research right now. Particularly, he's working with veterans and
okay.
with PTSD. Because as you said, you know, we go through these different, people can go through these different emotional traumas. We'll see the effects on the brain with this high-tech imaging that we have available now, these different MRI scans and whatnot, SPECT scans. And so then it's a matter of, okay, we see that. Now how do we fix that? And so
right.
it's very exciting.
It is very exciting, and I would love to be able to have some resources. So I'm going to definitely look into that. Thank you for that. Thank you for that information, because when
You're
I
welcome.
Because most of my clients are suffering from some sort of complex PTSD from years of emotional abuse, and so it's hard to break that cycle. So I love to have references and information I can pass on, and I will pass that one on. So I think most of us understand what anemia is, and I guess most of us understand thyroid issues. Although, like you said, when they do general testing for thyroid, when you go to your general practitioner and they run bloods on you, generally they don't test properly for thyroid. So your thyroid can come up looking perfectly normal when it is not. Isn't that true?
That's very true. You bring up such a good point, and I talk about that in the book. And I you know, one of the nice comments I get about the book is that I talk about these things, but it's not in technical doctory language. It's in everyday language that the reader can understand. And so when it comes to the thyroid, you're right. Oftentimes the doctors run a test called a TSH test, and it's a simple screening test for thyroid problems. But just doing that one test doesn't tell us the whole story. And so if you've been told that your thyroid is normal and that's the only test they've done, but you have some of the very common thyroid or some of the very common symptoms of a low thyroid, which could be things like fatigue, brain fog, cold hands, cold feet. We can see the eyebrows, the outer third of the eyebrows start to go thin, and constipation, whatnot. If you have these symptoms of hypothyroidism, it could be that your doctor just has not run the full panel of thyroid testing, which would include a free T4, a free T3, even a reverse T3, even antibody testing. Because that one test does not tell us the whole story. And that's really part of the art of medicine also, Randy, is that a good doctor will really understand, okay, this is what this test is telling me, and this is what this test is not telling me. And then even with that, how does this test correlate with my patient's symptoms? And it's taking all of that together to really interpret test results. That's really where the art of medicine comes in. And not all doctors actually like practice like that. I find a lot of them just kind of scan over the list. They look for the abnormal sign, because every lab will put a flag there and it'll say abnormal. They just look for that. And if all of those, you know, markers are within the normal range, you're just told, yeah, you're fine.
Yeah, I know. Now, I don't have thyroid issues, and I know that. My sister has Hashimoto's, as a matter of fact. So she's dealing with all that, which is not easy. So that leads me to talk about the gluten-free diet that we hear so much about.
Mm-hmm.
Should everybody go gluten-free?
Oh, that's a great question. So I think there is so much research out there at this point. It would be silly not to think that, you know, going gluten-free would be harmful. I think everybody would benefit to some extent of going gluten-free, because we know that the gluten that we have now from wheat and barley and rye, we've hybridized those grains to the point where they're not even near the grains that we had 1,000 years ago. And so they're chemically different. They're physiologically different. The genetics of them are dramatically different than 1,000 years ago. And that's part of the reason why we're having such a difficult time with gluten and why gluten problems are so much on the rise. And that we humans, we do not have any digestive enzymes to digest gluten either. And so a gluten-free diet is always a good place to start. I would say that, and I got to tell you the story, Randy. When I was in naturopathic school in 2010, I had the distinct pleasure of attending a seminar by Dr. Tom O'Brien. He happened to be in the Chicagoland area giving a seminar, and I said, I'm going to go see this and learn about gluten sensitivity. And I was just blown away by what Dr. Tom O'Brien had to say. And I was sitting there in his course, and he was just going through research paper after research paper after research paper. And I was sitting there, I was like, oh, yeah, I got that symptom. Yeah, I got that symptom. Oh, yeah, that's in my family history. Oh, yeah, I think that applies to me. And by the end of the course, Randy, I was like, I should really go on a gluten-free diet. That would probably be good for me. But you know what, Randy? Like most people, I was really scared. I was like, it's going to be the hardest thing in the world. There's no way I'll be able to do it. What am I going to eat? I'm going to starve. And so honestly, I did not actually go on a gluten-free diet until my levels of fatigue got to be so bad that I was like, dang it, I'm tired of feeling this tired. I'm just going to bite the bullet and I'm going to try a gluten-free diet. So this is now 5 years later.
Oh.
And What I did was I just worked on breakfast. So I just worked on breakfast and I figured out how do I make my breakfast a gluten-free breakfast. And I went on the internet. You know, the internet is so great. You can just, you know, type in, gluten-free breakfast recipes, quick and simple gluten-free breakfast ideas. And it took a couple of weeks, and once I mastered breakfast, then I moved on to lunch, and I figured that out. And once I mastered that after a couple of weeks, then I worked on to snacks, and then I worked on to dinner. So I just did it in a step-by-step format, because doing it all at once can be so overwhelming. And once I did that whole process, and for me, I would say it took about probably 4 to 6 weeks to kind of get that whole process, you know, grooved in. And once I got to the end, and I was now, you know, okay, now I'm 100% gluten-free, I kind of looked back and I was like, gosh, that actually wasn't that hard. Why was I so scared of doing that for so many years? And you know what, Randy, my energy improved too. My energy improved, my concentration and memory improved. Hmm. So like a lot of people, I as a doctor, I'm also a patient, and I'm scared about making some of these lifestyle changes, but you know, when we push ourselves outside of our comfort zone, you know, and we look back, oftentimes, and patients will say the same thing, is like, wow, that, you know, that really wasn't that difficult. But yeah, there's a commitment to doing it and time to doing it. And I like to say, too, that I learned this from Dr. Tom O'Brien, you know, a gluten-free diet is good, but a bad gluten-free diet is not good. So I find a lot of patients, what they'll do is, and you might have seen this too, is they'll go on their gluten-free diet and like at breakfast, instead of having a muffin, they'll have a gluten-free muffin. Or instead of having a bagel, they'll have a gluten-free bagel. Or instead of having pancakes, they'll just have gluten-free pancakes. Well, all of those, you know, gluten-free baked goods, they're actually worse for your health than the gluten, you know, containing baked goods. So it's about eating a healthy gluten-free diet. I'm sorry that was a long answer, Randy.
No, it's interesting. No, I'm listening. It just sparks some thoughts. You know, my sister, I said she has Hashimoto's and she also has celiac, so she went on a gluten-free diet, still didn't feel better. And she had this, I don't remember what the testing is called, but she had this testing where they test pretty much everything, every kind of food and anything possible. And she found out that she was allergic to all the things that we are taught are good for us. Quinoa, almonds.
Yes.
There was such a whole host of lists on this list of things that she was eating that she thought was healthy that she actually, and I guess what happens is when you do have autoimmune, I think you do become more and more sensitive over time to a variety of things and foods and your environment. And so it becomes sort of a downward spiral
and you get to be able to tolerate less and less in your environment and you know, in your foods. So she's working her way back to that. Now, also in your book, you talk about something I've never heard of, and that's vitamin R. What is vitamin R?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, I like talking about vitamin R. So vitamin R is the vitamin that no doctors really talk about. And so vitamin R, I like to say, is rest, relaxation, and recreation. Because I think, you know, especially in North America, we are such a go, go, go kind of a society. And we're going to work really hard now and, you know, enjoy life in our retired years. And we forget to have time for to take the time, I should say. We forget to take the time for ourselves to be in the present moment, that it's also okay to have fun, to just take time off and just to have fun. And so a lot of patients, we'll sit down and at some point during their treatment, we'll talk about vitamin R and how can we get more vitamin R in your life. So as an example for myself, you know, I'm a busy doctor. I see patients. As you said, I've got my podcast. I'm actually working on my next book, which is going to be all about digestion. I do interviews like we're doing right now. And I'm trying to do research and stay on top of all of, you know, the latest information. So I'm busy. So I realized at one point that I am working way too hard, Randy. I was at a point where I was, you know, working 7 days a week. And I said, okay, that's it. I decided on Sundays, my Sundays will actually be a day off. I will not open the computer. I will not look at my emails. I will not look or think about anything related to patients or anything related to functional medicine. Sunday is just going to be my day off. So sometimes on Sundays, I just sit and watch TV reality shows. Sometimes, well, most of the time, I'll take a long, long walk with my two Basset hounds and just, you know, read a fiction book for a change. So vitamin R is, you know, what can you do in your life to have more rest, relaxation, and recreation, even if that means you have to literally schedule time for yourself. It's okay to do that.
It's funny. Sunday is my lifetime movie pleasure day. I indulge in that. I've seen the Lifetime movies over and over and again, but they're so dramatic, and they do. They take me away. I relax. I listen to somebody else's problems for a while. It's really good. Really good.
Yeah, like so with our jobs, we're so much in our heads that we need to shift gears. Yeah.
So we're about 30 minutes into the hour. What have we talked? What have we not talked about that you think is important that you would like to focus on?
Let's see. What have we not talked about? Well, I guess, you know, part of it, Randy, is just that for the listeners out there, to just have continued hope that you have symptoms and those symptoms really are coming from somewhere. And a lot of times it can feel like a needle in the haystack to try and figure it out. And it can be complicated. I'll tell you that because I see a lot of complicated patients. But to just have hope that most of the time, fatigue, especially chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia, is very multifactorial. There's a lot of moving pieces to it, and to just have hope. And I would say, too, that the average patient that comes to see a functional medicine doctor, on average they have, and this has been researched, 6 diagnoses and over 30 different symptoms. And that's also part of why the traditional healthcare model is failing patients. And so, if you don't mind, I think it would be good to kind of delve into chronic infections.
Yeah.
Would you mind if I talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah. I mean, can we do that in about 4 minutes, you think?
Yeah, we
can.
Let's
talk a little bit about it. Yeah, let's talk about that.
So I think a lot of listeners have probably heard of parasites and yeast overgrowth, candida and whatnot, but one of the infections that is a kind of new coming to the forefront is this thing called SIBO. So SIBO stands for, or SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. So earlier I said, referred to this a little bit. So in the small intestine, normally there should be little to no bacteria. And patients that have SIBO, they have an overgrowth of bacteria where they should not have it at all. And this could be good bacteria, it could be bad bacteria. But we know that this SIBO infection can definitely be a trigger for fatigue, fibromyalgia, hormonal imbalances, definitely digestive imbalances, things like IBS, constipation, diarrhea, heartburn, and whatnot. So I think there's a lot of patients out there that actually have SIBO, and they don't know it. You could have this and not have any digestive upsets at all. And SIBO is very easily tested for. It's actually a breath test. And so you get a kit. There's a specific diet that you follow for one day. And then after that, the next day, you do your kit. You take a breath sample. The first one is a baseline sample. And then after that, you drink a lactulose solution. So lactulose is a man-made sugar that we do not digest or absorb. But if you have bacteria there, they're going to feast on that lactulose, and they're going to convert it into hydrogen gas or methane gas. And so then that's what you end up breathing out. Okay. So every 20 minutes over a period of 3 hours, you take breath samples as that lactulose is traveling through your small intestine. And that's how we diagnose SIBO. So for people out there that if you've had a history of using antibiotics, birth control pills, acid-blocking medications, steroid medications, like patients that have autoimmune disease, and using non-steroidal anti-inflammatories or painkillers. These are all things that can set you up for SIBO. And if you have a history of any kind of a food poisoning, that's a well-known underlying root cause for SIBO. So thinking back in your history, thinking about some of those things, do any of those things apply to you? And you might have SIBO as part of your picture of fatigue.
Interesting. So is this a test that has to be ordered by a doctor?
Yeah, actually in North America, the lactulose test has to be ordered by a doctor. But there is a test that's a glucose test, which is just as good. We don't have time to go over like the pros and cons or the differences of each. They're both excellent tests. The glucose test you can actually order online, and there's a lab called Quintron Labs, which I can send you the link for that, Randy.
Okay, and then I'll put it up on
there. Is
show.
A lab that that listeners can order that test directly from.
Okay, great. So yeah, send that to me, and then I'll add it to your show page so we can so everybody can look at that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's interesting. So there's a lot that we really don't know. So to my listeners, we're talking to Dr. Carrie Drisga, and she is a functional medicine doctor and also the author of Reclaim Your Energy and Feel Normal Again. And she's talking to us today about fatigue and some of the things that the hidden things that can really be causing problems with our energy levels. So do you see patients remotely or through Skype or those kind of things, or do you feel like it's important that you physically examine people?
I do see patients remotely via Skype telemedicine, but I will say, having said that, it has to be the right fit because not everybody, it's not appropriate to see just any patient remotely. They have to have a doctor that they are already consulting with.
Okay.
And so I just first want to make sure it's an appropriate fit. And if it's not, I'll let the patient know.
Okay. And in my research, when I was trying to find a functional medicine doctor nearby, there were a few. But I think typically functional medicine doctors don't take insurance, right, because then you're limited in your scope of what you can test for. Is that correct?
Yeah, so... See, I'm in Canada, so our insurance system is totally different than in the U.S. But,
okay,
yeah,
right.
Because there are certain insurance laws which makes it really difficult to practice functional medicine. And so a lot of functional medicine doctors, yeah, they don't accept insurance. And having said that, a lot of functional medicine doctors have financing programs or membership-based programs to try and make it affordable for patients, too.
Okay. Okay. That's good to know. That's good. I'm glad I asked that question. So how do we find functional medicine doctors in our area? What's the best way to, the best resource for that?
You know, I think the best resource is online, the website for the Institute for Functional Medicine. And I believe their website is functionalmedicine.org. So I'm going to double check that and I'll send that link to you. But
yeah,
yes, if you just do
an
internet search for the Institute for Functional Medicine, they have a Find a Doctor page that you can locate somebody near you. And then you can also see their training, too, because it lists when they were trained, which of the courses they've taken and whatnot.
Okay, that's great. Well, you know, I have you sparked a lot of interest in me as far as some things that I might not have been really aware of that I would like to look into, and I'm sure other people, because so many people are having these kind of problems, and it's got to be diet related, it's got to be environmental related. There's just so much that is different about the world that we live in nowadays that is contributing to health issues, but I'm really glad to see that. That you know, doctors such as yourself are moving in this direction, because I know, like I've said, you know, traditional allopathic medicine has failed me many, many times. Listen, there is always a place for it. There's always times where it's really important, and I do need an allopathic doctor. But but most times, I would say 9 out of 10. They don't work for me. So so to my listeners, if you're suffering from the same kind of issues as I am, and I'm sure many of you are, functional medicine may just be the way you want to go. So I want to thank you so much, Dr. Carey, for being my guest today and sharing your wonderful knowledge with us. And I do have your links up on the show page already. I have drcarey.com. I have functionalmedicineontario.com, and then I have your Facebook page and your reclaimyourenergybook.com. So for anyone who is listening, you can just go right to the show page and click on any of those links, and you can go right to Dr. Carey's information. So thanks again. I so appreciate you being my guest today.
Randy, it's been an absolute pleasure, and if all I did was help one person, and if that person is you, I am super happy.
I know the feeling. I do. Well, thank you, and I hope you have a wonderful day. And
you too, Randy.
And take care.
You too.
So we are out of time for today, but if you have any comments or questions about today's show or any other shows, you can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. Randy is RANDIGFINE.com. Yeah, all my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. So I want to thank you again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Talk Radio show host, author, and life issues counselor Randy Fine signing off. Until next time, may joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.